God heals the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted people are far too common in this world. Every day we hear of someone who has lost a loved one, experienced a disappointment with work, or a breakup with a spouse, even a close friend who moves away, or the passing of a beloved pet can cause our hearts to ache. Whatever the age, heartbreak is devastating. It's likely, we're told, that an adult will endure at least 3 major relationship breakups in their lives, and recovery time is lengthy and painful. Women, for instance, experience great emotional agony at the initial loss, but are also more likely to recover completely, whereas men, who may seem less emotionally connected, never fully get over the hurt. Doctors have even diagnosed what they term broken heart syndrome. When a person experiences a devastating incident like the loss of a spouse, the survivor shortly thereafter suffers from a heart attack and passes away as well. Such was the tragic case of one man who lost his wife in a school shooting and days later suddenly collapsed and died. Sadly, we've all heard of such heartrending events. Jesus is certainly aware of the sensitivity and frailty of his human creatures. He watched in sorrow as Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden and forced to live and work in a much less habitable world, a mighty warring angel standing guard at the gate to prevent their return, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the Tree of Life. He knew their agony and shame and remained with them, although the intimacy they had once enjoyed was now destroyed. Thus, from the very beginning, heartbreak happened. Jesus watched as time and again people's hearts were broken, some by their own forsaken ways and others by the evil around them. Noah was heartbroken when his son Ham, who had worked by his side to build the ark, experienced the wonders of the flood and their deliverance, and heard as God declared that the flood waters would never again destroy all life, and he painted the sky in bright colors as proof. Yet Ham still mocked and disrespected his father. Similarly, elderly Isaac must have been devastated when first his wife Rebecca and then his son Jacob betrayed him to gain the birthright. Lot faced the same shattering betrayal from his wife and daughters, for his wife desired the sins of Sodom over the freedom God provided, and in longing looked back to perish in a pillar of salt. Joseph, too, repeatedly faced lies and betrayal by his own brothers, and then from Potiphar's wife, all whose words and actions thrust him into a life of poverty and servitude. Yet he later said with confidence, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." And then there's Moses, who repeatedly faced an angry, complaining crowd, demanding food, water, and even threatening to return to their enslavers. Yet consistently, Moses threw himself on the ground and prayed for them, asking God to forgive and deliver them. Ruth, the young Moabite woman, was a grieving widow whose once prosperous and secure life was shattered by the deaths of her husband, father, and brother-in-law, leaving her homeless with a grief-stricken mother-in-law. Bravely, Ruth set out for a new, uncertain life with a people that despised her kind. Yet she courageously labored in the fields, picking up strands of leftover grain to survive, and found a new loving husband and a community that praised her faithfulness. The shepherd warrior David was hounded and persecuted by the very king he'd saved from massacre. Yet when David had the opportunity to strike him down, removed only the edge of Saul's robe. Although brokenhearted at the loss of his wife, his position, his family, and friends, when the moment for revenge opened, he spared his enemy's life. Each of these people experienced excruciating agony, their hearts breaking at the loss and betrayal and devastation they faced. And we haven't even touched on Job's all-encompassing suffering. Yet they somehow saw light in their darkness, embraced hope in their hopelessness, wrapped themselves in faith instead of the rags of misery. How could they do this? They knew their God loved them and so trusted him that his love would, through his love, they could bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Despite all this world and its people hurled at them, they threw themselves at the Lord's feet and found mercy and grace. They knew, even if they'd never read, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Because he'd heard their cry, he'd rushed to rescue them from all their troubles. They'd experienced with David that God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. They felt that God had spoken his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. They could say of their shepherd God, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows with blessings." Time and again, in the face of sorrow and mockery, fear and accusations, poverty, their hearts breaking and their spirits crushed, they turned their face to their Heavenly Father and found him to be their refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Even if their health failed or their spirit grew weak, they knew God remained the strength of their hearts, for he is with them forever. That's why they could cast their burdens on the Lord, for he sustained them and never permitted them to be removed from the rock on which they stood. As soon as they prayed, we're told he answered them and encouraged them by giving them strength. They knew the one who promised to heal the brokenhearted. Of him the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus spoke those words in the synagogue of his boyhood home in Nazareth to tell the people their Messiah had come, and they could see the eternal Father's promises fulfilled in him. They maybe didn't believe him, but still he eased their suffering with his presence and their bodies and their minds with his touch. And then he anointed his disciples to do the same. He soothed their troubled minds, saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He said these things so that in him we may have peace. In the world we will have tribulation, but we can take heart, for he has overcome the world. He can do that because his own soul was crushed with grief to the point of death. His own body was broken beyond any physical healing, and it was by his wounds that we are now healed. Because he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with deepest grief, he understands our suffering. Even though we rejected him when he was despised, still he loves us. It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighted him down. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. He took our pain and our shame and our sorrow and gave us peace. That's why there's hope in our heartbreak. We may be pressed down on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but not driven to despair. We may be hunted, but never abandoned. We may get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. When we suffer, it does not mean he does not love us. For nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death or demons, fears or worries, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Everything he does is filled with kindness. That's why we can cast our heartbreak on him, for he cares for us, and he will rise with healing over us. Joy is coming, beloved. Wait for it. It's on its way. God bless you.